was not saved, the parties I went to, they were loud. You guys are awful quiet. You need to make a joyful noise for the Lord. Celebrate. You need to celebrate His salvation. Celebrate everything that He has done for you. Amen. We're in the last few hours. You all go ahead and be seated. I tell you what the Lord gave me when Pastor sent us a message saying that He wanted us to minister. So He said, the Lord said, remind my family of their future, of my future that I've given to Him. So I'm here tonight. I'm going to remind us of things about the future that we have. And I don't know about you, but I've already been thinking about it. I've been thinking about my family. I've been thinking about me and Debbie, Jeremy and Tina and Colin, because that's three generations of the McKenzie family. I think about the church family. I think about pastors Mike and Annette, our elders, our deacons, and the church family. You know, we have responsibilities to our families. And I was just sitting there meditating on it when Pastor actually sent the text. And I said, well, you know, Lord, I've been studying on the promises of long life and longevity, you know. I can do that, but I said, you know, I really want to know what you want me to minister on, what you want me to say to my brothers and sisters, to the church, to my family, to encourage them to be a help, to be a benefit. And He said, remind them of the future that I have given them. So I want you to know today is the first day of the rest of your life. And I know you all heard that before. Amen. And it really is the first day of the rest of your life. Now, you can either choose to live it celebration, or you can either choose to live it in old me, humdrum, whatever. And the world, you know, if you're looking and getting your information from what you see, feel, you know, from what you hear in the world, then you're being moved and motivated by the wrong thing. Amen. Darkness, gross darkness, the Bible says, covers the entire earth, covers the people. But God talks about the glory of the Lord have been risen, being risen upon us and to shine forth through us and on us. You know, if anybody has a reason to live and to go on, it ought to be the children of God. It ought to be the family of God. Can I get an amen? God's not created you to be a failure. You know, He's not created you to live a whole hum, just barely get by life. He has created us as His family to thrive. And when you start thinking about that relationship, and I was talking about family earlier, we are the family of God. We are the heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Before the foundation of the world, He had a plan. A plan of salvation, because He knew that Adam would give up. He would sin. He would transgress. But it didn't stop Him, and He didn't have no plan B. He always had plan A. And that was for His Son, Jesus, to come, giving up His deity as God in the heaven alongside of the Father, to take on and adorn Himself with a fleshly body, and to come to this earth and to redeem mankind. Amen. And in reminding you of the family of God and reminding you of our future, when times was dark, and I ministered on this last time in Genesis 1, verse 1 and 2, that's when God stepped out, overrode the darkness. God does some of His finest work when it's dark. But if you're listening to the world, if you're walking according to the beat, the drum beat of the world, and if you've planned your life along those lines, change. The world is going to wax worse and worse. The future of the church is to be brighter and brighter. Amen. Now, I've got some things that I just want to say, and I want to get into them. But I want you to know that God wants you to celebrate life. Amen. His life. He wants you to be happy. He says in John 10:10, Pastor said this last Sunday, and I think he even said it this morning. I've come that you may have life and have that life abundantly, or abundant life, or life to the fullest, life till it overflows. Amen. The kingdom of God and the things that God has for us here, He wants heaven here on earth with his church. He wants us to create heaven right here on this earth. And you do that by the things that you say, the way that you think, you know. It's not my message, but I'm just saying that you create your own world that you live in. By your own perception of your own mind and your own thinking, you create the world that you live in. The Bible says it this way, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So, you know, whether you've had failures in 2023, you know, we're in the last hours of 2023, getting ready to go into a 2024, and we have a bright and glorious future. Now, we've said some things about the rapture of the church, and it's a real event. You know, I'm not denying that. But I do, however, want to give you about six things that I believe that has to happen before the rapture of the church. And before the rapture of the church, God says, I want you to occupy till I come. That word occupy, it's like do business for me. If you was in the army and you were told to go occupy that hill or go occupy that bunker, you were to go take over that place. You were to, whatever the cost, you were to lay it all out there on the line. Amen. You were to go for it with everything that you've got in it. And, you know, it's sad, but a lot of us Christians from time to time, we find ourselves being lazy. And Pastor hit on this evening, sometime today. But, you know, a lot of people, they live their life according to the flesh. You know, this fleshly body. The pastor was talking about the fleshly body. When you got born again, he said it today, you received a whole new nature. And the only thing that's even connecting you to this world is your physical body. You became a part of the family of God, a part of the kingdom of God. Jesus himself took on our nature, our old nature. The Bible says he became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So as I said before, your perception, as a man perceives, that's the way his world is going to be. So if you want a better world, then you need to think about what God is saying. You need to look at, from the Word of God, take your cue from his Word. His Word is life. Amen. His worth, his life is, the Bible says it's energizing. It's powerful. But it's sad, you know, when we won't even crack open the book or the Bible and get into it, you know. Listen, I'm not talking about business people or anybody like that, but even anybody in the church, everybody in the church, even if you're a businessman, you ought to establish your life based on biblical principles. Amen? And those principles will lift you higher and higher. Amen? As I said before, this is the first day of the rest of your life. And I said there were six things that I wanted to relate to you. And you can ponder these. I mean, like I said, I'm not saying that the rapture is not a real event. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that a lot of the people in the church world today, because they're looking at the darkness that's in the world, they're making a judgment call, and they're either wanting to be rescued out. And a lot of them, I believe, in my mind, in my heart, from what I see, they've given up. And that's exactly what the devil wants to do. Every time that he comes, any time that he comes, or any time that you are about to get a revelation of the Word of God, the Bible says he immediately comes to steal that Word. Why does he come to steal the Word? Well, the Word's full of the life of God. The Word's a foundation. The Word, just like the song was singing, when you can't see him working, that Word assures you he is working. Amen. When you don't feel him working, that Word assures you that he's working. Amen. So whether you've had goals this 2023, maybe everything's not come to pass just like you wanted it to. You know, you've had your scripture and you've been standing upon it. I say this, keep standing. Amen. Melinda, if you're up there, you can go ahead and bring up Jeremiah 29:11, and we'll go from there. But Psalm 68, I think it's verse 11, says that he crowns our year with abundant harvest. 2023 is not up yet. Still got like, what, 2 or 3 hours left? Amen. And he says, even the hard places bring forth abundantly. So God's plan for us is always abundance. It's always excess. It's always overflow. It's never not enough, you know. It's never less than, it's always more than. So our mind and our mental concepts, our mental perception has to be based on the Word of God. So King James says, for I know the thoughts that I... Let me do this first, the six things I just remembered, okay? You can write this down. It's Matthew 24:14, and a lot of times we quote this in part of these scriptures, and he's talking about the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world for a witness unto all nations, then shall the end come. In those same areas, you're talking about wars and rumors of wars, right? I mean, that's in that Matthew 24 concept. And a lot of people are looking around now, and they're seeing what's going on with Israel. They're seeing what's going on in the world. They're seeing Ukraine and Russia. And then all of a sudden, you're seeing Israel and the world. And you're seeing countries coming up and arranging themselves against the world. Amen. So, that's going to happen even in the time when the Antichrist does come and set up his kingdom here on the earth. But right now, that's just an impression. It's just things to come. So, when it comes to God, when it comes to Israel, when it comes to you and me, the church, anytime darkness seems to be prevailing, God always has a redemptive plan. I talked about that the last time that I ministered. He always has a reset. He always sets things right. He won't allow darkness to overcome light. Amen? Can I get a few amens? It's not intended for darkness to rule this earth. We're the heirs. The earth has been given to the sons of men, to us. The earth belongs to us. It belongs to the Lord. He's given it to us. So we have a charge as the church to take authority, amen, to take dominion, to subdue, amen. And I think a lot of us, we don't do that. Even when it comes to our personal lives, there's things that arise up. And like Pastor said, the first thing we do is we consult the world. We take that path first. When as Christians, we ought to take the path of the Word. Amen. And I'm not saying, if you're sick, I'm not saying not go to the doctor. I think, and I told Pastor Mike this and a few others, when people are sick, and that does happen from time to time, a lot of people get prayed for and they think, well, I'm not going to take my medicine. And I think it was Kenneth Hagin that said this, or Oral Roberts, one of the two. And he advised them, he said, don't do that. He said, you keep taking your medicine, you keep going to the doctor, and you keep utilizing your faith. And as you come and as your faith grows, that faith will overcome that infirmity, that weakness. Amen. And your doctor, it will prove itself out. So unless God's really telling you to throw away your medicine, don't do that. Okay? If he tells you, do it. Okay? But I'm just saying, the Christians, us Christians, the family of God, God has more confidence in you than you do yourself. He sure does. His plan from the very beginning, knowing that Adam would transgress, he had already prepared the way for Jesus to come. And when he stepped out into the darkness there in the last part of Genesis 2 and verse 3, and he says, light be, that was just not only the physical light that we're looking at here, but that was prophesying Jesus come. That was prophesying the Messiah. That was prophesying redemption. That was prophesying when God first created Adam and Eve, he pronounced them under a blessing. Amen. But when they transgressed, they brought in the curse. So Jesus, and this is that plan, this is where darkness looked like it was going to overtake everything that God was creating for his man. He said, no, not happening. So Jesus came. He redeemed us from that curse, brought us out from under that curse, and raised us back up to the original plan that he had for man to live by the blessing of God. Amen? Are you following what I'm saying? Are you tracking with me? The second thing that I believe has to take place is in Habakkuk 2:14. It says, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Now, again, this is from what I've studied and what I see, based on my study of the Word of God and from different teachers and stuff, this has to happen before the rapture of the church. But some people have already got their suitcases packed. They're ready to go. Well, I'm not saying I'm not ready to go. I'm just saying my bags are packed, but bless God, right here now is my time. And that's what I said, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Amen. So you've got a whole lot of life to live before God catches away the church. What if it is? What if it is 10 years from now? What if it is 50 years from now? What if it is 100 years from now? What are you going to do? You know, what's your plans? Are you going to base your future on the world that looks so dark, so bleak that, I mean, people are going crazy? And the church is caught up in that mess. One preacher says that crap. And that's what it is. It's a bunch of crap. We ought not be in that mess. We have light. We are of the light. We're not of the darkness. And the Bible says that we should live in the light as He is the light. We're the light of the world. The church, I know, it falls short on showing the world the glory of God. It falls short about being that beacon, the light that's set up on the hill, that not to be hid under the bushel basket. And the reason why that they're hid and we're like that is because we have more of the world in us because of the way that we think and perceive things, that we walk and we make our plans according to those, the world standards. I'll get to that in a minute, so I just wanted it left up there. The third thing is Isaiah 60, His glory shall be seen upon us, in us, and through the church. Talking about the glorious church. Now, as I'm talking about this, have you all seen this happen yet? Do you see the gospel having been preached to every nation? How about the earth being filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord? How about the glory of the Lord being upon the church and shining forth through us? How about John 14:11-13? Greater works than these shall you do. Is the church doing greater works? Why are we not doing the greater works? Because our life is anchored in more in the world than it is in the Word. Pastor talked about it. He's mentioned about it. And he's not downplaying sports. He's not downplaying fishing. You know, he's not downplaying hobbies. He's not downplaying jobs or anything like that. He's just saying, and I'm just saying, and I'm reiterating what he's saying, we have God's plan. We need to follow God's plan. We need to search it out. We need to be the light for the world to see. The world needs to look at the church and have and want what we have instead of us looking into the world and say, hey, I want that. I'll have that. And really, you're supposed to have that. Amen. The Bible talks about the good things, having the good things. So God wants you to have good things, but He wants you to do it according to His word. Amen. Not through greed, not through the world standard. Like I said, I'm just going to download to you what God downloaded to me when Pastor gave me the word. How about Proverbs 13:22 and Isaiah 60 talks about the transfer of the wealth. Amen. Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man, a righteous man, leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. That's the reason why I've been thinking about my son, Tina, and my grandson. The devil is after our generations. He's been doing this for years, generations after generation. Amen. Our children are a target. We're fallen victims to his devices. And a lot of you have got them in your hands right now. You may be looking at your Bible app, and that's a good thing. You know, devices, you know, some of the teaching that they're receiving in school, you know, that's an antichrist, secular, anti-family, anti-God. It's a teaching. Amen. It's an acceptance of all things. No, it's not what we're supposed to be doing. We don't have to accept everything that comes down the pipe. We're the standard. We're the difference. We're to stand up and say, hey, no, this is what God says. God loves you. I love you. But that sin, no, that's wrong. We've talked about LGBTQ. We've talked about just different things that the world's going on. And, you know, they're trying to push this and push this. And if the church would ever get a backbone about them and stand up and be what we're supposed to be, we'll see laws changed. We'll see politics changed. Righteous people need to be in authority, because when the righteous are in authority, the Bible teaches us that a city, a nation, a country rejoices. But when the wicked rule, man, it's heavy. It's bad times. And that's what we're seeing right now. So, you know, a lot of times the church says, don't go vote, or, you know, vote for this party or that party. But it's not the party. You vote God. We vote God. We vote God. We vote what He wants. Amen. How about Isaiah 61? The Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth in all nations. Has that happened yet? Okay, it's not. So therefore, that's the reason why I'm saying God said for us to occupy to the time. Make plans, make preparations, prepare your heart, prepare room for the Lord. We're the habitation of God for His Spirit to dwell in. Amen. And I told you once before that a habitation, it's a permanent home. And a lot of people, they just want people to visit. They just want the Lord to visit. They just want, you know, come for a little while, leave, let me go back to doing my thing. But no, when the Lord comes in and He's a habitation, He'll clean up your life. Amen. So there's little things, little sins, little pet peeves, little areas, you know, that the church gets into because they think nobody's watching. God knows. I think that's the reason why some of the people are sick. I think that's the reason why some of the prayers are not answered. The attention is off of the Word and onto the world. Amen. So those were six different things, six different scriptures that God led me to, I guess, to say, in the event that I could, with His help, with the Holy Spirit, would have us to look and see and wake up to reality. The Word actually says this: wake up to righteousness. Awake to righteousness and sin not. There are several verses that talks about that. When you awake, that means you snap out of it, you know. When you awake to righteousness, you look at, it's God's way of thinking, God's way of doing, God's way of acting. The church, sometimes we act like the devil. I see a lot of people act up just like the devil. Amen. But we're not that way. I've said this and I'll say it again. The nature that you have received is God's divine nature. You, me, we were raised from the low life to a high life. Adam was created in that high life, but he fell to the low life. Actually, when you look at it, Satan, who was an anointed cherub, he worked in conjunction with the Lord as a created angel and a being. He fell too. He no longer has that revelation knowledge, and he's bound to the same realm that the world is, and that's the world that is the sense world without God. We're not that. We're children of God. We have God. So we're not just to rely upon our senses. We're to rely upon the Spirit of the Lord that's on the inside of us. So you need to feed your spirit. You need to get in that Word. Build yourself up. The Bible says, build yourself up. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Study to show yourself approved. That requires something of me and you. Matter of fact, he says, consecrate yourself. Consecrate means saying, God, I just come into your presence. I know that there's more. The Word says there's more. And I'm just here to present my body as a living sacrifice, to present myself, my family, spirit, soul, body, family, financially, socially, and otherwise. I'm here because I want more of you. How many of you want more of God? How many of you want more of the manifestations of the promises of God? Then turn away from the world and turn to the Word of God. Make time. Somebody says, I work too much. Make time. Amen. Make the time. You've got time. If you've got time to do hobbies, if you've got time to work, if you've got time to sleep, take a nap, you've got time for the Lord. The body's weak. Body's lazy. It does not want to get into the presence of God because it's going to require that body to snap to attention. Amen. And that's what we need. Amen. So, moving on into this, I want to remind you of God's good plan. King James says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. How many of you know that God's thinking about you? Man, he's all the time. He's all the time thinking about us. And like I said, even before the foundation of the world, he has you in his thoughts. He has you in his heart. You are his motivation. We are his motivation. And if the church could ever get a hold of that, and we see ourselves the way that God sees us, as his heirs, as his family. And that's I said this before. I said that's the reason why that the devil had rebellion in heaven, because he's seen that man was coming and what God had in store for God's family of man. And he wanted what man was and wanted what man was to have. And he's still doing that. But here's the sad part. We're letting him steal it. The Bible says that people are destroyed. My people. Say this. My people. We're God's people. Say it. Say, I'm God's people. We're his peeps. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Now, he's not talking about natural knowledge. He's talking about revelation knowledge. He's talking about his knowledge. He's talking about the knowledge that he had and was setting up for mankind from the very beginning with Adam, where him and Adam and the family of God could fellowship with each other. They could talk together on the same level. And by the way, they were talking in a heavenly language. I'll leave that to you to do some studying on. Because, you know, at that time, there was no Hebrew. There was no Greek. There was no American. There was no Chinese. Amen. There was God and man. Baptism of the Holy Ghost. Say that for another time. That heavenly language. You build yourself up on your most holy and high faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. How many of you are baptized in the Holy Ghost? All right. How many of you spend time praying in tongues? Not as many hands. I'm just saying. You know, just saying. We're made for so much more. But we live so much less. Because we don't see ourselves the way God sees us. We don't put the emphasis or the time in on what God wants us to do. Therefore, we're not seeing God's results in our lives. And we want to blame God. Pastor said he's blamed God. I blame God. And then I was standing in front of the mirror when I looked at it one time. And I said, God, and I thought, It's that dude right there in the mirror. So sometimes you just need to grab yourself, look in that mirror and say, you're the man. You're the man that blew it. You're the man that messed up. Not God. Amen. There's nothing wrong with God. He is good and absolutely good. Stephanie said this, every good and every perfect gift comes from God out of heaven. Amen. The devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy. So anything that comes from that, we're allowing him to do that. We're much stronger, much better than that. Keep that up there if you want to. I'm going to go to another translation. I said this before. It's evident that the devil is stealing from us. He's trying to take our family. And there was a verse in the Bible. I didn't write it down, but it said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause for us as the body of Christ to raise up? And if the Lord does tarry his coming for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, 100 years, is there not a cause that we set up our generations to come in the goodness of God instead of having to fight, scratch, and crawl around and act like the world? Is there not a cause? Is there not a reason for the church to arise? Amen. I'm here to provoke you in love. I'm not here condemning us. I'm here to lift us up and to do what God says. Remind my family of their future, a future that I've given them, a future that I've set forth from them. Okay? Jeremiah 29:11. In the CEV, the Contemporary English Version, says, I will bless you with a future filled with hope and a future of success, not failure. Future, it's a time and events yet to come. We're living now. What I just said just now is back in the past. I'm here now. You're here now. Our future is ahead of us. It's a bright and glorious future if you live it by the Word of God as a Christian. Amen. And it's events yet to come. It's no one's ever been there yet. You've not been in your future yet. You've not been in your future yet. God has. And you know, by the Spirit, we can go to that future. We can see it being revealed right here in this Word. But when you're only watching and looking with natural eyes, you don't see that far in front of your face. Tunnel vision. When we need to have the vision of God. Amen. So it's 2024 is going to be a year of brand new beginnings, brand new seasons. How we leave this season will determine how we enter into the next season. How do you want to enter into the next season? Looking at this bright and glorious future that He's planned for you. He's planned it out. Amen. And He says this when He's talking about that one word up there. It says, thoughts of peace. Now, when God thinks, you know, He does something. And that word peace actually means shalom. Shalom, shalom. And that word means, and it does mean peace. It even means more. Nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken. Hey, man, that's spiritually, that's mentally, that's physically, that's family, that's financially, socially, and otherwise. Brother Kenny Cowan's got into an area here when he was last ministering last Wednesday, and he was talking about living above sin. Do you think that you can live above sickness? Is there an area there that we can live in this world, bringing our bodies under subjection according to the Word of God, and not have sickness and disease come nigh our dwelling? No evil when you make the Lord your habitation. No evil shall come near your dwelling. Evil is anything that's of the curse, really. It's anything that would cause calamity, disaster, heartache, would create lack. This word is full. Amen. So God wants us to have His peace. Nothing missing, nothing lacking, and nothing broken. I didn't look at the clock, so I'll try to hurry. How about, let's look at this. And I said this, it's a future of success, not failure. I don't know about you, but I've had enough failure. I mean, I've had enough frustration. I want success. Amen. How about Jeremiah 29:11 in the Good News Translation? I have for you plans to bring you prosperity and not disaster. Hey, that brings a whole new realm into our living. But when you've got mere men mentality and you're only thinking of yourself as a mere human being, you don't see what God sees. You're too busy looking at the dirt. You're too busy looking at the ground. You're too busy. We're too busy looking at the circumstances. Amen. So He says, plans to bring you prosperity. That word prosperity is the conditions of success. It's achieving and thriving in all areas of your life, not merely surviving. And surviving is only barely existing, barely functioning. And it's sad that a lot of churches, a lot of Christians, they settle for barely functioning, barely getting by. when God says, I want you to thrive, amen, be at peak performance, peak development, highly productive, even in your old age, bringing forth much fruit, being full of vitality spiritually, mentally, physically, and otherwise. And he goes ahead to talk about being rich, even in the virtue of trust, love, and contentment. 3 John 2 says, beloved, talking about us, the family, said, I'm his peep. Say it, I'm his peep. I'm his family. He wants me to thrive. He wants me to excel. He wants me to be rich. He wants me to be wealthy, healthy, and wise. When we can get that picture and that revelation in our minds and our perception, and we set that up as a goal, then we'll move someplace. We'll do something here in Sayersville, Kentucky, in the surrounding area. We'll be more than just a church, a social gathering. We'll be what God's called us to be, a light set up on the hill, night of miracles, I think was some words that have been spoken. You know, different words have been spoken over us. Right now, we're just living too far below our privileges, too far below what God has set for us, because our aim is low instead of aiming high. Remember last time I said, we're at this level, and God's telling us to reach for that level. And guess what? When we get to that level, God will have us reach for another level. Amen? So, thriving. This is your future. This is the future that God has planned for us. Amen? How about one more? How about that? Jeremiah 29:11 in the Message Bible. I know what I'm doing. This is God. He says, I know what I'm doing. The problem is we don't. We don't know what he's doing because we're not in his word. You know, we're not seeking after him. We let other things come into play, you know. We let excuses. No, I won't say that. They're not excuses. They're, what's the word I'm looking for? Anyhow, I'll just leave that word at. We make excuses to not to live in the realm that God wants us to be. And I've heard people say this, well, he's so earthly, or he's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. Crap. No, that's what God wants us to be. Heavenly minded. Not carnally minded. Pastor got into that, I think, at the beginning, maybe today. The Bible talks about in Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but who walk after the Spirit. What are you walking by? Amen. Amen. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you and me free from the law of sin and death. And then he talked about being carnally minded. Carnally minded, that's the realm that the devil operates in. That's the realm that he wants to get the church wrapped up in so that they don't see what God sees. So that we don't move any higher than what we see right here. You know, God's a God of vision. We ought to have vision. Amen. Big vision to do great things in this area. We've been called for this area to do greater works. We've been called to set this world, this area, upside down for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a corporate thing. From the pastoral head all the way through the leadership to the church. It's just like the Bible talks about the anointing. That when Aaron was anointed, the oil ran down his head, down to his beard, even to the hems of his garments. The anointing will come from the head through the leadership to the church. So we've got to have greater vision. Our eyes have got to be opened up to this plan. We've got to see ourselves the way God sees us, not like the world sees you, or not like the devil wants you to see yourself. Your perception has got to be greater than that of the enemy, from the devil. Amen. Getting back to this verse, he says, God says, I know what I'm doing. So we need to find out what God's doing. We need to acclimate ourselves. We need to aim to that direction. We need to look to God. We need to make time. Amen. Come into his presence. Daddy God, I just come into your presence. I find myself doing that more and more here lately. I said, I know that there's a greater depth of a relationship. I want to know what you know, and I want to do what you want me to do. Say what you want me to say. He says, I know what I'm doing, said the Lord. I have planned it all out. If it's planned all out, then we need to work the plan. Amen. If you're not planning to succeed, you're planning to fail. So we need to work the plan of God. We need to know the plan of God. Right here it is. It's right here. In between that side and this side, from the index all the way over to the maps and everything in between, but especially what's in between. Amen. And he says, plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. How many of you hope for a great future? How many of you want a great future for your children? How about your children's children? How about those, their children's children? Amen. I mean, my God, I mean, the church is made up of families, and it's the family of God. We are ambassadors. We are representatives, and we need to represent him well. So this is what the Lord has given me. I had a few more things to say, but I've basically summed it all up, and it even starts back from the very beginning with the divine reset that he did in Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2. I mean, the world's dark, but we don't have to live dark. If you remember, there came a time when the children of Israel needed to be delivered from Pharaoh. And he sent Moses as a deliverer. So you talk about dark. They had been under burden and bondage for over 400 and some years. They had generation after generation raised up in that stuff. Their taskmasters were hard on them. Their labor was harsh. And the Bible talks about that you're a servant to the lender. You know, if you're wrapped up into the world, whoever's got your control, whoever's set over you, you're their servant. So God has sent Jesus to deliver us from this world's way of thinking and doing.